Now that Iraqis have regained control of their country with limits, the American military is expected to take a less visible yet still prominent role in security there. With the U.S. administration of Iraq technically ended, some are reflecting on the military lessons learned in 15 months of American occupation. NPR's Eric Westerveld reports.
Last fall, as insurgent attacks increased daily, the critical job of protecting supply convoys grew more dangerous every day.
I'm the 50 cal gunner. I pull security for... I usually go ahead of the convoy and scout out if there is an ambush.
The mission of protecting vital supplies fell to young soldiers in Iraq like Army Specialist Philip Ackerman.
So I've been on 215 missions as a gunner, and I was in 13 attacks, small arms and roadside bombs.
Today, the insurgency is still alive and still deadly, 15 months after the swift fall of Baghdad. At a recent hearing, Democratic Congressman Ike Skelton pressed Paul Wolfowitz, a chief architect of the Iraq War, on what lessons he'd learned from the tumultuous U.S. occupation. When Wolfowitz began describing the vile nature of Saddam Hussein's regime, Congressman Skelton interjected.
Mr. Secretary, let me interrupt if I may. I understand, but my question is, what lessons we have learned, you have learned the last 15
well,
months?
Well, this is part of the lesson, if I may.
Please.
It was a regime that survived with thousands of killers, and it was a regime that began making alliance with another group of killers. That's the enemy we're fighting. It is a truly evil enemy. And if you want to say what might have been underestimated, I think there was probably too great a willingness to believe that once we got the 55 people on the blacklist, the rest of those killers would stop fighting.
Others, however, see much broader lessons and underestimations, including on U.S. troop levels. Larry Diamond was an advisor to the U.S. Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad.
I met very few military officers who felt that we had anything like the level of force that we needed in the country.
Others believe the military lessons of occupation say a lot about the needed size and shape of the U.S. military and planning for future combat.
Whenever you engage in combat of any kind, there should be reason for change. It should give us all pause to reconsider our assumptions. But there isn't a great deal of evidence that that is currently happening.
Army Colonel Douglas McGregor spent much of his military career bucking military orthodoxy. He challenged the idea that the 1991 Gulf War affirmed America's military effectiveness. Instead, he wrote a book calling for a dramatic reorganization of the military into more mobile, quickly deployable, and self-sustaining combat units. Today, McGregor, who just retired, thinks the military is once again unwilling to see the larger lessons of a war in Iraq. Colonel McGregor argues that the U.S. laid the foundation for the Iraqi insurgency through heavy-handed knee-jerk raids that failed to grasp the complexities of intervention in an Arab country.
They invaded houses at random. They effectively terrorized large numbers of people. Now, some of this is a function of frustration because we can't speak Arabic. We weren't prepared for the social and cultural settings. The average American soldier is a very good person, but if you put 60 pounds on him, you stand him outside in 116-degree weather, and then you demand that he work with people he doesn't understand, for which he was never educated, trained, or organized properly, you get a terrible outcome. And I think that's what we've had. So much of what passes today for the insurgency is something that we inadvertently helped to create ourselves.
Others believe that disbanding the Iraqi army merely sent thousands of trained, angry, unemployed soldiers into the arms of the insurgents. Pentagon leaders have consistently defended that highly controversial decision, saying there wasn't much of an army left to disband. Colonel Paul Hughes is a former CPA advisor now at the National Defense University. He says Iraqi officers were collecting names of soldiers untainted by Saddam's crimes when the word came to disband the army, a decision, Hughes says, that was made without input from then U.S. Administrator Jay Garner.
To say that there was no army, that they had self-demobilized, did not correlate with what I knew. Yet the decision to abolish the military was never coordinated with either Jay Garner or myself. My personal feeling is that the decision to abolish the Iraqi military was based more on ideology than on reality.
Further underscoring the strain of the Iraq War on the U.S. military and another sign that the initial troop levels were too low, The Pentagon today is preparing to recall to active duty some 5,600 people who recently left the armed forces but who still have a reserve obligation. It's the first large-scale activation of what the Pentagon calls the Individual Ready Reserve since the 1991 Gulf War. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.